This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, also in Lexington, Kentucky. And we are at the Thoroughbred Makeover at the Kentucky Horse Park. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's October 4th, episode 2283, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have co-host of Retired Racehorse Radio, Joy, with us as well.
Hello.
And Jennifer's over here, and we have listeners here, and it's a lot of fun. And we have Joy's dad. Give him a shout out.
He's my dad's first makeover, first trip to the Kentucky Horse Park. So, hey,
yay.
Dad.
Hey, Dad. He's been hanging out with us all week. It's been a lot of fun.
We had dinner with Karen from Kentucky Performance Products, and all of us were there.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you, Karen, for joining
us. Stanfield from the Dressage Radio Show came.
And then we had the mandatory obligation to go to Jalapenos last night.
Of course.
Because Jamie will not come to Lexington, Kentucky without going to Jalapenos.
I'm telling you. It's good. So it was a really fun night.
You deserved a drink or two after your day yesterday. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Everybody wants to know. So you did eventing yesterday, along with about 180 of your friends.
Yeah, right. So we went down to the warm-up. Baby Groot and I, he was all braided. Caleb Muller from...
And what level were you at?
I was... Technically, I think it's beginner novice, but it's not scored the
same.
That
means they're jumping 5 foot jumps.
Yeah, it's only like huge. 9 foot. It was the biggest thing he's ever done. And the dressage was in the Rolex Arena, and we had schooled it, and he was awesome. And then I went down. There's like that little chute that the Rolex riders go down when they're going to go do their dressage. And he saw all of the horses cantering around, and then the announcer came on, who was very loud. And he
didn't need to be. There was not a big crowd.
No, he talked about me the entire time I ride. I was like, oh, stop talking! and Baby Groot just went track. He just went back to the track. So it was definitely a challenging ride. I just tried to keep my lower leg, my heel under my hip, and sit up tall. And
you stayed in.
Try to make through it. Stay in and stay on. That's my theory with dressage. So I stayed in and I stayed on. So we achieved that goal. But it was definitely not what I was hoping for, not what we've been working
towards.
And
I know you think your ride was the worst. It was not. It was not the worst.
That would be shocking. I feel sorry for that person because mine was pretty bad. So
there were a few that were on two legs a lot of the time.
Really? Okay. So he didn't have any bad behaviors. He didn't rear buck, but he didn't do anything silly. He just was very tense, and I just couldn't get him to relax his top line and like drop his head because he was just so busy looking up at everything. But he got his leads. He did all the right gates. We got down the center line and we had a halt at the end. So everything was there, but it was definitely not the dressage ride that I had dreamed of, because he does have quite a lovely canter in his trot when it's relaxed and long is really mm-hmm. beautiful. So where his gaits were not very well demonstrated yesterday. So with that being said, then I was like gonna head up to show jumping and went back to the barn, changed all the tack, and you go from show jumping directly out to cross country. So I had to wear white breeches on cross country yesterday, and I was mortified. All you girls. I didn't have time to change them, so that's the only time it's allowed. I don't want the comments about me wearing white breeches on cross country. I didn't have time, so I go up for show jumping, and I looked in the arena, and I was like, "Oh my God, what I am supposed to jump all?" Like, we did as a starter a 2 foot horse trial, and then there's like 2 9 oxers out there.
I was for baby novice. I did look out there and go, "Wow, those look big."
I had to measure it. I was like, "That is too big," and it turns out the judge for this portion was Nick Larkin, my former coach, and I saw him up there, and I was like, "Nick Larkin, These fences are too big and too shiny and too bright with too many flowers. I'm like, fix it. And he's like, do you want me to ride him for you and show you how to do it? And I was like, hell yeah, come on. He did not take me up on that. And of course, then as I'm entering the arena, he goes, I almost rang the bell on you because the bell starts, you have 30 seconds to go. He's like, I almost rang the bell on you just to mess with you. And he goes, by the way, did you get the course change? And I was like, shut up. There's no course change as I'm riding in about to start. So he rings the bell. And I had told you guys I had planned on trotting him because we didn't canter jumps. But he trotted the first one and he landed in cantering. And I think we cantered the entire
He actually looked more comfortable cantering him.
He looked like he'd been doing this for years.
They jump better out of the canter at that size. But the problem is you have to find a distance and to have a half halt. And
you had like a two stride at one point too.
He never had a two. We'd never done gymnastics. And I had a two stride that was massive. And he went into it and I just was like, sit up and leg on and rode. And I feel like I gave him a good ride and
He's careful with his feet too. He really is.
If careful means he jumped 4 foot over the top rail.
You stayed on, girl.
He's very careful. On.
Heels down. Keep your heels under your hips, people. Yeah. So that was, I was really surprised and very elated after we went out. And I got one of the highest scores in show jumping the entire thing. Now, unfortunately, that they add that score with your dressage, which was not awesome. And then they put that score together and then we went out on cross country. And again, I warmed him up over a cross country jump that was bigger than any jump he'd ever jumped. And he kapoom, catapulted over that and we jumped it a couple times. And I was like, let's just go. Let's see what happens. So it was different. And who was the judge on cross country? Selena O'Hanlon. So
I didn't see who was out there. Was that Selena?
Selena. Okay. So she's out in a golf cart and I rode out there. And there was no starting box. It's
different.
Just a starting
they
line.
They do judge your cross country, which is not
and there's
done
a horsemanship
normally.
Aspect of it too, which I'll get to. But you had to go through the starting line. So I rode up to her golf cart. I said, hi, you know, I just want to let you know that this is way above our pay grade. And she's like, it's Kentucky. Just go have fun. So I was like, okay, well, let's do it.
You can hear Selena saying that too.
And so we cantered her, just trotted up to the first fence and he was hesitant. I put my leg on and he pinged over it and then landed and took off. He's like, okay, I got it. So we went around to fence two and jumped that and got to fence three and jumped that. And fence four was our first experience with a jump with fill. Like it had a bunch of like pine fill in it and it was white. And he jumped that great. I think that was number three. And then we had a long gallop up a hill to a four stride. And it was a max roll top with just a tiny roll top a couple strides later. So I thought, okay, slow down. Please slow down. Please slow down. And he just kind of ignored my half halt and flung himself over the first one. And coming up to the second one, he slipped and ended up landing on top of the second fence.
I almost thought you were going over on that one.
That's not the
from
time.
From our perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought he was going to fall, you know? And so I backed him up and got him off and I looked down at his knees because he was sitting on his knees on top of the jump and there was no blood or anything. I backed him up.
He handled
it
really well for a baby. He's just like, what happened?
Oh, well, crap. And so I looped around his sound and then he just popped right over it.
Yeah.
And then we had to come around to the next one, which was this, to me, like the biggest rider fence. It was a pretty big vertical. You know, the roll tops are nice because if they do get a little close, their knees can go over it. But the really upright ones, those are the ones that they could potentially, those are the more dangerous ones. So you can hang a knee over that. And it was downhill afterwards. And after our last escapade, I probably hesitated a little bit too much and rode a little backwards to it and he stopped at it. And then I think that the last one shot his confidence. And so the rest of the time was kind of trying to rebuild that confidence. We got down into the water. He wouldn't go in the water. He's never been in water. I mean, went into a mud puddle once, but like other than that, he's never been in a big giant water complex like that. And I couldn't get him in. So I turned him around. I don't recommend anybody does this unless you really know your horse and you know they're not going to rear, but I backed him into the water. Then they get their feet wet. You can turn him around and ride him on through. and that worked perfect. And then we had to go jump a jump, which he jumped bravely, and we had to loop back down and go back through the water. And if you saw, he just cantered right into the water like it was no problem. And then he jumped the next one, and then we're going to the top of a hill. Am I over describing this?
Are y'all bored? No, this is great.
So I get to the top of the hill, and it is a brush fence, but not an eventing. You can have the max size of the fence, and then you can add, I think, 6 to 8 inches of brush on top of it. Because the theory is that the horse should learn to jump through brush. He don't know how to jump through brush. So we got up to it, and he was like, what the hell is that? And came to a stop again. And again, I just stood there, let him look at it, gave him some rubs and pet him, and backed him up a couple steps, looped him around, and he jumped it. Mm-hmm. And then we had to go down a hill to another big brush fence. And this was even bigger than the other one. And he stopped at it. I gave him a minute, backed him up a couple steps, looped him around, and he jumped it no problem. The problem with that fence was 4 strides later, there was a ditch. And he's never seen a ditch. So I was like, well, I really don't want to end up. They call them coffins in eventing. It's not a ditch. It's a coffin. And there's
a very positive.
It's
term.
A really terrible name. And I was like, I do not want to end up in that coffin. So I jumped that brush. Once he did it, I just kind of sat up and kicked and held on. And you just look up in the air. If you look down, you will be down. You look up in the air and you add your leg, and I kind of gunned him at it. And he got up to it, and it was like it was too late to and he rocketed over that thing like it was a 4-foot vertical. I mean, he was like, the picture of him, his knees are by his ears, you know, like, what the hell is that? But he jumped it. And then the horsemanship part was you had to hand gallop up the hill all the way across the field. And as I turn the corner to hand gallop, I look over, and Selena was standing up in her golf cart cheering for me. And I was like, oh my God, that's so nice. Cause I mean, it was a hard ride, but I feel like the whole time I felt, didn't get upset. I didn't get mad. I didn't get frustrated. I just thought, well, he's a baby and he's learning and he's figuring it out. And I wanted to have to be a good horse trainer. And I think that going forward, he's going to be a lot better. And again, I need to, it's my fault for not preparing him. It's my fault for spending so much damn time shooting bows and arrows in the arena instead of taking him cross-country schooling. But we had a lot of challenges along the way with his traveling. He didn't travel very well, and so we had to work on that, and he didn't pick up his feet. I mean, so many challenges that I didn't know we would face, but that's part of horse training. But then cram it into 9 months and giddy up. So in the end, I was elated. I'm so thrilled with how he did and how he handled it. He never once shut down. He was still open to learn. He looks good this morning. He's happy. I turned him out last night and I rented him a paddock and I turned him out, and I couldn't be happier with how it went. I mean, aside from him losing his marbles in the dressage, like, he really came back every single time.
Well, and what I want to applaud you for, and this is just as a spectator who's like, I do dressage, just watching you do cross country, I'm like, oh my gosh, my heart, I can't watch this. But every time he stopped, you just waited. You waited and you praised him when he was just calm and thought about it. And as a spectator, it was just really admirable to watch. You put the horse first. So yeah. I'm very proud of you for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, when you get him up to the fence like that, so many people want to spank him. I don't carry a crop or wear spurs, and I don't feel like making them is going to create a good partnership or a good relationship, and forcing them to do something. Like I said before, you know, you can't make a thoroughbred do anything. You may be able to get him over this time, but the next time it's going to be worse. So once he stopped. I didn't praise him for stopping. What I did is I praised him once he looked at it. And then what you want to do is you want to see the horse look at the obstacle and then look past it. And once they've looked, like, sniffed it and looked past it, they're going to jump it. Almost every single time. So once he did that, I would praise him and tell him he was good and loop back around and he popped over it. So that's just like kind of I just wanted to do right by him, you know? Yeah. So
I think you did.
Thank you.
You really did.
Yeah. I was really, really thrilled by the end of it, even though it wasn't probably from an outsider's perspective, the most beautiful cross country round. Selena Whalen threw up a cheer for me because she knew how hard I worked in that. And it was awesome. So thank you very much. I'm so glad you guys were here.
Thousands of people around the world are very proud of you.
Very
too.
Proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's awesome.
Now, next year, you have to do 2 horses. And 4 competitions.
No. No, this is really hard. I need a break. Baby Groot is going to go home out on the 20 acres and he's going to be turned out for a month and just be a horse. He'll come up, he'll desperately try to
challenge
come in
to do something next year. I'm challenging you.
We need to challenge you for something. You need to go climb Mount Everest.
Here All right, and now it's time to move on with the show. So we got a lot of interviews for today's show, and we're going to introduce you to a lot of fun people here right after this word from our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, one of our terrific fans who's here with us, an auditor who's here with us this week, is Stephanie. And Stephanie said, you have to talk to Heather. And she sent Heather over here to chat with us because Heather's riding 2 horses at the makeover for 2 different rescues, right?
Correct.
So tell us about My Pal Jerry.
So My Pal Jerry is a 5-year-old. He's a chestnut with 4 white socks and a white face. He's got lots of bling.
Lots of chrome.
Chrome, exactly. He is really your pal. He's such an awesome, quiet, easygoing, happy horse. And he's really, actually, this weekend really started to bond. Like, anytime he sees me now, he whinnies, which is kind of cute.
Mine does that. He just wants food.
He's from pretty far. I'm pretty far away though, so I don't think it's just food. But he competed in the dressage phase and did really, really well. Like, awesome. I think he did the best that he could do with the training he's had. So good. I was very, very proud of him. Nice horse.
Yay. And what was the rescue for that again?
The rescue for My Pal Jerry is Akindale Thoroughbred Rescue. It's based in Pawling, New York, but I am in Sally, South Carolina, near Aiken. Okay. And I have a satellite farm for them down there.
You just and made horses half the out. Country jealous because you're in Aiken.
Yeah. Except in the summer.
It's steamy.
I just moved from Phoenix. I don't feel sorry for you.
Exactly.
So Reggie D is your other horse.
Reggie D is from Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue, and they're based out of Maryland. And I am a satellite firm for them as well and adopt horses down south for them. He too
is. Mid-Atlantic is one of the largest horse rescues, I think. They've been around forever.
They've been around for a long time, yeah. They actually helped the founder of Akindale get Akindale going.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool. Reggie competed in dressage and competitive trail, and he was very good in both. And I, again, think he came here and did the best that he could do with the training that he had. He had kind of a later start, so he only had about a month's worth of work before he came.
Wow.
So how do you, in competitive trail, I heard that the teeter-totter was a problem for a lot of horses.
There were some, you know, it was interesting what some horses spooked at and some didn't. And Reggie was pretty good about the water. He didn't like the pool noodles. He thought that was like really not a good idea. However, he should have grabbed one as he was trying to go into the water. And he didn't really like the plywood. But everything else, he gave it a go. So that was great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So question, you know, with preparing for this, I competed in eventing and in freestyle. And I found it was, I think, incredibly difficult to concentrate on two completely separate things. So I did mounted archery for my freestyle.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, and then, but then to also train a horse for three phases of eventing. And I found such a challenge was trying to figure out my time management, because it is, you know, my horse is four and there's only so much their brain can take.
Absolutely.
In a day. And
yeah,
it's like, okay, I've got, you know, a dressage day, a cross country day, a jump school, and a, you know, fitness,
a hack
and,
day, you're right,
and a shooting bows and arrows day, from the back day. Like, what the hell? I've never, I think that was the biggest challenge for me was the time management. How do you manage? Give me some advice. I mean, to have a horse compete in competitive trail and dressage is two totally different things.
I have to say that I thought the competitive trail would be a little easier.
Did you?
Really?
The honesty.
I do have to be honest about that. So when I got here, I was like, wow, yeah, I probably should do side pass. Yep. Probably should have, you know, then you get to the, I shoulda.
Yeah.
I personally think that the horses can take what they can take. And when they've had enough, they've had enough. So like in the trail, when he struggled, I just patted him. Yeah. You know, he tried. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just move on to the next thing. I think that time management is really hard to figure out how to do things. Cause I event as well. And I actually chose not to do jumping this. Not, I originally thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to event and, you know, do what I'm familiar with. And I actually chose not to event because I felt I would be pushing them with how much time I had to devote to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, there were so many things that my horse hadn't seen on cross country, like, I don't know, water and ditches.
Wow. So
certain things like that. Yeah. I was like, well,
we're
but
here.
You know what? What the hell? You can shoot a bow and arrow off of the canter. So yeah, he's got that. That's really not valuable in eventing at all.
No, but it's pretty cool.
Unless you don't like the judge.
I'm slightly jealous that you did that. So I just think, you know, I just think the horses take what they can take.
Do and get what you,
you
can
just
get
need
done.
To know when to stop.
Heather, like, before we run out of time, I really want to talk to you too, because you were at one of the first makeovers that was still at the infield of Pimlico.
It was
at the racetrack, and it was what, 20 riders or something?
26, I think there
26?
Was. Yeah,
and it was invitation only at that point.
You had to send in a application, and then they picked 26 people out of that. Yeah,
so,
and they only gave you 90 days.
Oh, that's right.
To showcase what you wanted to do with
now,
your
do
horse.
Now, do they sell like the same rules of only so many rides or anything like that?
No,
or
no, no.
Just any run?
Well, you had to get the horse.
There were only
the
so many disciplines, though. There were a couple.
No, there was, they had ranch, they had cattle sorting. They actually brought cows to Pimlico. There was fox hunting. There was dressage. There was a woman that showed vaulting, which was awesome. Laura did that. There was...
Offer skinny thoroughbred?
Yep.
God, you got to have balance.
She did that.
One thing to do it off a draft horse back. But
yeah, no, she did it. Yeah, it was really impressive. Kind of like the bow and arrow thing. Like, that was really impressive.
I haven't seen the video yet, so.
It doesn't matter. You attempted it.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think are some of the biggest, most positive changes that you've seen in the makeover since then, from then to now?
I think it's great they give more time. The 90 days, like 90 days, I think is great if you're good professional Lord, and have time to devote to that. But I think 90 days is unrealistic, you know, to the general public, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think that's great that they did that. I think this showcases it to more, even more people by moving it to the horse park.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have more things going on at once than at Pimlico.
I met a lot of West Coasters yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Canada.
And the Canadians are representing
what
here.
What was the woman we had on the other day with 36 hours? She traveled.
Oh, Shelby Dennis. Yeah. She's from British Columbia.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, So I think that those are some of the things that I think are awesome. Okay. And the freestyle is, I wish I could, that would be one thing I'd like to change. Mm-hmm. Like maybe highlight that, because if you're out there showing, you don't get to see it.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have been, to me, really fun to see.
And some of them were fun.
Yeah. And in the first makeover, I worked for Akindale as well. And we picked a horse that won $700,000. And I will tell you that when he set foot on that track to walk to where the ring was, he definitely remembered his racing days. And my husband said...
He was going for another win.
He's
huh?
like, oh, just let him have a gallop. I'm like, I just spent 90 days not galloping. No. You know, like... Yeah. He's like, go. He's a famous racehorse. I'm like, No.
It's your victory lap before you won it. Exactly.
I'm a horse husband. I can see me. I can see myself. I can see this.
Like my husband. Can I just raise the jump a little? I'm like, babe, he's never jumped. Like, stop. It's not going to be 3-6 on
really
the first day.
Bored watching you do cross rails,
right?
You know?
Exactly.
Like, how many poles are you going to trot over?
Put
it up.
Doesn't get boring.
Exactly.
Like, hey, are you training the horse? You jump it.
Get on it. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's awesome to talk to you and meet you. I wish we would have met at the beginning of the week.
Me too, but next year we will.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, thanks, Heather. Cool.
Thanks,
appreciate
Heather.
It. Take care.
So I'm here with Jennifer Osborne, who just had an amazing 3-day event in like 2 hours with her off the track thoroughbred. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
So tell us about your horse, Fortunate Cookie.
I got her kind of in a roundabout sort of way. The people who I've gotten horses from in the past is this rescue called Naysavers. And then I got connected to another rescue in California called Karma, and they're always rescuing horses. And so they, I became one of their aftercare partners, and then they gave me a grant so that I could do this, so I could do, you know, the Retired Racehorse Project. And so then they let me choose from probably about 15 horses. They sent me pictures of 15 horses. And then I picked her just from a picture. I thought, okay. She just looked really smart, and that's actually what she is. And so then I picked her up. She was in a layover facility coming right off the track. I picked her up last week in January, and then shipped her to Las Vegas and started all the training from there.
Okay, so you're from the California, Nevada area.
Yeah.
This is your first time at the makeover, right?
Yes, my first time.
What made you want to do this?
I think I'm crazy. No.
That's fair, we all are.
Yeah. I had wanted to do it since the first year it went, but it was always just, how am I going to get there? How am I going to ship? What am I going to do? How am I going to, I mean, the cost of coming all this way, I won't even begin to tell you how expensive it was. Yeah. So that grant they gave me really did help. A friend of mine gave me another grant, which was huge, which I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. You know, just having that support and people who've supported the rescue over the years, I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. But I've been watching it on TV. I watched Elisa Wallace win it last year. I've always wanted to do it. Thoroughbreds are what I do. I run the horse rescue with thoroughbreds, and it's just the best way to showcase how great these horses really are. So
I couldn't agree more. It's just been a remarkable experience here. And, you know, something that we've been talking about too is the diversity within the sport too. As, you know, a woman of color, how have you felt coming in here? Do you think this is a land of opportunity, or?
I mean, a little bit about me just in general. It's just kind of funny. I made a little post on Instagram when I first got here because I flew on the plane with my cowboy hat on. And I was making a little joke. I said, oh, you know, this is the first time I've had to wear a cowboy hat to get people to stop staring at me. So if you look at my life, everything I do, you don't see anyone that looks like me. So I'm used to getting stared at. I'm used to being the only one. And people say nobody's going to stare. No. People stare, like, with their mouth open, like, stare. Like, but I'm 43 years old. I've been dealing with it my whole life. It's fine. I get stared at when I'm driving the fire truck. I get stared at when I'm...
Oh, yeah, let's mention about the fact that she's also a firefighter. Like, she's running horse rescue. Firefighter, woman, dominating everything right now.
I don't know about dominating, but definitely just trying to, like, get through every day just like everybody else. But, yeah, the diversity thing, I'm kind of used to it, and I'm at the age now where I'm comfortable. I think if I was a little younger, it would be a little bit more difficult just to kind of handle that. But with that said, everyone here has... Okay, not everyone. There's always a turd in the punch bowl. But the majority of people, I'd probably say 98% of the people who are here are really encouraging and really positive. And I can't tell you how well run this show is. Like, I've been to some poorly run small-time shows, or, you know, shows that are trying to be like this, and they are not even... I mean, to have all these horses and to have it this well run, and then everyone is super friendly. Like, when I was trying to school for the freestyle, you know, they say you only have 10 minutes. They let me...
We're going to pause real quick. Okay. I just want to be sure it's still We're still going.
Yeah, okay, we're still going. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, yeah. So when we went to school for the freestyle, you're supposed to only have 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they were basically just like, stay as long as you want. Like, this is a spooky arena. Don't worry. I mean, everyone is more than helpful. They wanted to help me set my buckets up and all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, with that said, I think just kind of, I'm not a meek person just in general. That's just not my personality. So I kind of, and just being used to it, I just, I'm kind of just like, ah, whatever. If somebody's got a problem, that's their problem, not mine. And I hope that if you just, if the more people just start to see it, it'll just become commonplace. Like, that's what we talk about in the fire department. Like, that's what people... you just don't see it a lot, and so then that's where the preconceived notions come from and all the stupidity and all that stuff. And so a lot of my bosses will tell me, hey, you need to encourage other people, other, you know, people who are, you know, quote, minorities or women or whatever, because the more women we get involved, the more people of color we get involved, the more, you know, people of different, you know, backgrounds we get involved. Number one, it enriches whatever you're doing because you're getting a different perspective. And then number two, it just, once you start to see it, then it just becomes the norm. And so hopefully, like, people will just start seeing it and just be like, oh, that's normal. You know, so.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, like, your ride watching you go today, you're so gentle with your horse. You had her in a very untraditional setup for eventing, too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I had to ship her here because I couldn't take off enough time from work to drive there and drive back. So I had to ship her here. So a lot of my stuff I had to rebuy here because I couldn't ship. So I was, so it's like a hodgepodge. I don't I don't have my truck here. I don't have my trailer here. I don't have, like, a lot of my stuff. Like, and so I bought those rope reins. That was for my freestyle because I can use it as a lunge line as well. And I use it when I rode her in the halter. And then I used different reins for the dressage, but they didn't have clips on them. So it was just like a speed thing. And then I was like, you know what? We'll just go with the green. And the rope reins were green. So I was like, ah, whatever. I'm comfortable riding with it. So it didn't bother me. And then I rode her in the Mi'kmaq with the little bit of a shank on it, which a lot of English riders, they see a shank and they, like,
I have to say, as a dressage rider, I saw you go in with it for the jump ring. I was like, well, this is interesting. This is different.
Because English people aren't used to a shank. But they'll put all sorts of martingales and stuff and tie the horse. It's the same concept. You're doing the same thing. And that, the Mi'kmaq, I love the Mi'kmaqs for just as a training bit for little babies, especially with her, because she tends to, when I first got her, she would hollow out her back and her neck. And her head would be up like a giraffe, like 90% of the time. She had a one beat canter. Like, that was just up and down like a deer. And so the Mi'kmaq just kind of helps. It only activates as the horse's head kind of lifts up. And then it immediately releases when they lower their head down. And so it can be a little faster than a rider's hands. But with that said, you have to be real careful. You can't get really aggressive with your hands. I'm not a real aggressive rider with my hands anyway, because I think riding all should come from the leg, and the hands are just kind of there. And so, I mean, I rode her in a halter in the freestyle. So, you know, and bareback. So I don't really need that. That's just for as her as she's a baby. In another 6 months, she's gonna probably go in a straight, smooth, you know, smooth snaffle. Like, she'll be fine in that.
So what's her future look like?
Right now, since I can't afford to ship her back and be with me, a girl who adopted one of my other horses from a couple years ago, she lives in Virginia. She's driving up on Friday.
Oh, nice.
And she's going to take her and continue her training because she's not quite ready to, she still needs help. She still needs somebody to kind of help her along. And this girl is doing such a great job with the other horse that is from my rescue, and I love her and I know her, and she's somebody that I feel comfortable that, you know, Flynn can go on with her and we'll have a lot of contact over the next year or so, and I'll probably fly back and just be involved with her a lot more, because to me it doesn't matter the number of horses I can rescue. I have to be able to see their whole future and make sure that they're okay for the rest of their lives. I would hate to see her, because she's at still all these horses here. They're not trained yet, none of them. Even though they're doing great and whatever, they're not, they're still at that vulnerable stage where it could still go wrong, and then you're going to see them, you know, somewhere in a feedlot or going to slaughter or something like that. And that's, I don't want to see that for any of my rescue horses. And so it's once I make contact with these horses, it's for life. I'm going to follow them and make sure they're okay for life. And I always tell everyone, if you have a problem, they can always come back to me. I will always take them back. It doesn't end just when they go on the trailer. Yeah. So,
well, Jennifer, I don't know how we can end on anything better than that. I mean, that's what the Thoroughbred Makeover is about, is, you know, giving these horses that second chance, moving them forward and giving them the best start to their forever homes. And I think you're really capturing that with what you're doing. So people don't learn more about you or find about your rescue, where can they look?
You can look at my webpage at fireandicehorses.org. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Fire and Ice Horses. I've been kind of chronicling everything on Instagram and Facebook, just trying to keep everybody in the loop. And I'm always super honest. I'm honest when I screw up, and nobody's perfect. So, you know, except my horse. You know, I always say that it's the humans that kind of get in the way. The horses are trying. So, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we're out there. And I would like to see this become, like, at the very least, have one on the West Coast, like the Mustang Makeover does. Because I don't know if I'll be able to come all the way back here, not for a while, but if you get one on the West Coast, I'll do it every single year.
I love it. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for coming on the show, and good ride today.
Yeah, thank you.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
Well, some of you guys might remember Justin Powers from episode 10. He was one of our spotlight riders in Polo. And Justin, how did your week go?
It went pretty well. I mean, aside from melting my truck trailer and everything else getting here. But no, the weekend was good. We're not even to the weekend yet. Looking forward to going to watch some races today at Keeneland. Horse did better than I thought I was going to do. Wednesday, we did a little practice dry run, and that didn't go that well. So, switched up some bits.
That sounds familiar. Nobody's went well.
Practice is for schmucks, okay?
Yeah.
Who needs practice? Yeah, just get out there.
Nothing like taking a bunch of off-the-track thoroughbreds and putting them back in box stalls and shed rows, and like they decide they're going to go bat, you know what, crazy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's much like the dressage, going down into the dressage and the announcer's talking and all these horses are cantering around.
Talking to my dad, I'm like, this is the first horse show. It's everyone's green. He's like, oh, everyone's got alcohol then too.
So this actually is my first ever horse show.
Wow.
Ever in my entire life.
Way to start big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I prefer things to like just tack up and ride and then you're done when you're done. And not this whole like,
this is super stressful.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It's more stressful than it probably needs to be. But yeah, okay. Also, skunks are protected animals in Kentucky. So everyone talking about the skunk problem needs to chill a little bit. Oh. But
are they really?
Yeah. Huh. For their pelts.
Didn't know.
Huh. So the skunk thing, there's been skunks seen around the barns. And I went to go get my horse out of the round pen. And it was like 5 a.m. and I'm bringing him in. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, hey, wherever you are, go away.
Your first problem is getting up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. That's not true. Like,
So how is your preparation for this event? Because how long does it normally take a Polo horse to be ready for Polo?
I mean, it kind of varies depending on the horse, but you know, horses right off the track will probably, you know, you're going to a year and a half before you're getting them into kind of competitive play. Mm-hmm. There's what's called green horse polo, which is, you know, slower polo. You know, it's more of a kind of a, you know, a camaraderie,
it's a
fraternal
schooling
thing.
Game. Yeah. That's what Jamie and I can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I can't. Sure.
We need targets. Yeah. So, no, it's in, and it varies based on the horse. I was talking earlier about how, If I wasn't doing this event, I probably would have turned my horse out at the end of August for the winter, you know, because she was going pretty well as far as, you know, compared to how, when she started. And I might have put a little too much pressure on her coming in, but it's all right. We got it done and over with. And
so you happy you did it for your first horse show?
Yeah, I wouldn't say my personality is a horse show personality. I'm more of like a relaxed, get on the horse, ride. Mm-hmm. Like if I need to ride 5 seconds, I ride 5 seconds. If I need to ride an hour, I ride an hour. But it's cool. I mean, it's a little bit different.
An experience. So how does the polo operate here versus traditional polo that we see?
That's a good question.
What was asked of you, basically?
So the agility pattern is like, what I would say is more like a schooling pattern, and it's no pattern actually. It's just do whatever you want. It's kind of like a freestyle pattern. A couple years ago, there was an actual pattern, but polo people just don't follow directions too well. So, I would say that like that part of it is very similar to what we do. You know, when we're kind of just like every day schooling the horses, kind of getting them on their toes a little bit. As far as, you know, tomorrow in the finale, you'll see a mock chucker or a mock period of polo, and that'll be the crowd favorite.
That'll be really cool.
That'll be cool.
And so, and also, I mean, people will be hooting and hollering. It's not like a dressage ring where you have to be quiet.
Was that kind of weird? Because it was, I watched some of the polo and it was really quiet in here. Was that just strange for you?
It, you know, you don't notice it when you're riding because most of the time you're on a polo field and you just got wind, you can't hear.
Okay.
But, you know, this isn't like tennis and golf. I mean, it's horses. So,
yeah.
And these are racehorses. They're used to people cursing them coming down the stretch and ripping up tickets and throwing at them and stuff. So,
gotcha. And so, as your first time here, what's probably the most memorable or positive thing that you've experienced?
So, this is my first time here as a competitor, but I've been to every retired racehorse event, actually.
Really?
Yep. Even going back to Pimlico.
Okay. Wow. Cool.
So,
Are you surprised at the growth? How many horses are here?
I'm surprised at the quality, more so than the growth. I mean, I think there's a lot of nutty people out there that want to own horses. So just even in the polo discipline, I think the quality in the horses, this is also me trying to, you know, preface and scapegoat my poor performance. You know, the horses are better this year than they were 3 years ago. So
this was the best year of all, like the toughest.
The horses are way better than when my dad won this thing, you know. They sucked then. But no, I think the level of commitment, as far as, you know, people and this is kind of a double-edged sword. I think people are treating this as a horse show first now, and kind of a fraternal community collective second. And this organization needs to be very cognizant of that they don't lose that we're here for the horses, you know, appeals and questioning on scoring and stuff. You know, at the end of the day, you know,
we're here for the horses.
No one's getting rich off this, you know, so. Yeah. But
well, cool. Justin.
I mean, you know, if you want to buy some, you know, horses, I got some horses for sale. You know, they'll turn you into a millionaire. As long as you're a multimillionaire.
Yeah, as long as you have 10 million fans.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you for coming by and stopping and talking to us and being a part of the show before. It's been fun to follow everybody's journey here on Retired Racehorse Radio.
What was your guys' favorite part this weekend? Or this week? I keep saying weekend because it feels like it's...
Jamie's favorite part is it's over.
That is... I am done. I definitely made it a lot harder on myself than I probably needed to. I just felt a lot of pressure to make everything work.
I'll tell you what I see from just an outsider's point of view and a horse husband not knowing a lot is, with a few exceptions, the horsemanship I think has been very good. And when you watch the riders with the horses, they've been very patient when the horses didn't want to do something, whatever it was. And I, so for the most part, I'd say 80% of what I saw, I really liked that way.
Yeah, yeah. Some good horsemanship.
It's also really impressive with the kids. Like, so my sister did the team competition, and so she has two kids here that are under 16 that worked with her. Both are first generation riders, and they're both. I mean, they've at our farm, they've been riding off track thoroughbreds for the one girl for 4 years now, and she's. Mm-hmm. 14. But like, even I noticed when I was riding, I came into this corner closest to the booth here, and I asked a horse, I did a, you know, flying lead change to the right lead, and then I wanted to do a lead change back to the left and turn into the wall, and she picked up the lead change, but we were running out of real estate quick. And when I was 14, I would have just dug my heel in and said, we're either going to go, you know, butt over tin cans, or we're going to make this turn. I'm not as coyote as I used to be, but like the kids now, you see the young riders, like last year, I think a couple junior riders won. Harry Caldwell won the polo a few years ago is, mm-hmm. you know, they're really understanding the foundation of, you know, horsemanship, which again, I describe horsemanship as out of the saddle, you know, from day one, what do you do with a horse? You know,
well, so. You can't with a thoroughbred, especially you can't fake it. So no. It's either the foundation is there or it's not. Mm-hmm. And I mean, things happen, you know, like my horse does a lovely dressage test at home, but he went into that Rolex arena and the announcer started talking and he was back at the track.
There's so things I mean, you can't control
some things you can control. Can't, but you just getting the foundation, you can't make a thoroughbred do anything it doesn't want to do. And that's what I think about the racing industry. Mm-hmm. These horses want to run. These horses want a job. They want to do stuff, and you can't force anything and you can't fake anything. So I think that the good horsemanship that we've seen is required to even be here, because otherwise you wouldn't have made it.
The only controversy mm-hmm. I've seen online so far is with the barrel racers.
What happened with that?
So what's happened was there was some barrel racers from what I read, and I didn't read it all because it was depressing. So Fallon Taylor's out here. She's mm-hmm. in first place. Well, with this type of competition, every element of this competition has a horsemanship element to it. It's part of what this whole thing is about. So that's true of the barrel.
I mean, even in
too.
Freestyle, we had compulsory movements.
That's
so
right.
We had to mm-hmm. demonstrate we can do simpler flying
changes.
Well,
they did a flat thing with the barrels, I think. They did a flat thing first.
Flat horsemanship. Yeah.
Right. And then they ran barrels. Well, what happened was Fallon did...
East Germany judge or what?
Yeah,
she didn't run the fastest, but she had the best horsemanship and the fastest score with good horsemanship.
And it was a junior, apparently, that ran the fastest. So everybody online, all the barrel racers were upset because this is not a pretty competition. This is for speed. And,
well, yes, it is. That's well, what it's
see,
supposed
that's
to
what
be. The,
we might have to have a little throwdown next year. Pull people against the barrels.
I saw the best
barrels.
Comment, a very respectful comment of they didn't sign up for a barrel race. They signed up for the thoroughbred makeover. And I think that was the best way to put it, because this is not your traditional show by any means.
No, I didn't even know how the scoring was working in eventing. I've been eventing for 20 years.
And it was different. They were judging
totally
you on cross country.
Yeah.
That never happened.
It is all about putting the horses first and building that
foundation.
And
they should. We're dealing with babies. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really dealing with baby horses.
The riders or the horses?
Both.
Or the riders of the
both.
Can be
in some cases, both.
We edited that out,
That was what the controversy was about. And to be honest, it just pissed me off when I read it because it was...
You know, I think that's part of it is like, you know, at the end of the day, these horses are only X months. In my case, my horse is 6 months off the track, you know, so... Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what kind of experience they had there. So
well, and
part of your training
when I called a new show a few weeks ago, I mentioned there's also the elephant in the room, and that is NT disease. You know, some horses just don't have talent. You know, at the racetrack, or I don't care. You can ride a horse in a round pen as much as you want. Some horses are just not physically going to be able to run around a barrel, or able to shut down and pivot like a polo pony. You know, so and. That's when you got to find another job for him.
That's why I love this, because so many people like Kathy Wieshoff was in the ranch work. Mm-hmm. And like, she's a
four-star
high
adventure.
Level adventure. And that's what's fun about it is you take this horse and you know what? I'm an adventure, but you know what? This horse seems to have a skill set that may be other than my skill set. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about training horses in general is you have to find the job. Baby Groot, he went out on eventing yesterday and he didn't understand.
By the way, I love the name.
Oh, thanks. he didn't quite understand the questions in the eventing, but the show jumping, which was the biggest he's ever seen.
And at a canter.
And I never canter jumps, and he goes out there and rocked it. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this horse may be a show jumper because that is what he rose to.
The other part of that, too, is like for us at home, you know, we're taking horse off the track. I mean, obviously, I'm taking him to play myself. But everything's for sale. You know, the goal is to sell. And so my sister takes all the horses on hunter paces and trail rides. And to me, like, if I sell a horse in polo, I'm selling it to beginner rider. You know, 85% of the people who play polo are terrible riders, probably, you know. And and so if I sell them a polo pony, and or if I sell them two polo ponies, and he or she and their significant other want to go on a trail ride, that's my name on it. I want to make sure that they can throw a leg over it, go through the woods, and if there's a, you know, if there's a log, they need to be able to jump over it. So I think the cross training is important. Maybe not in the sport, you know, what I call the sport horse world, dressage, where it's very refined, or the jumping. Oh, my broken mic. But in everyday, like in polo, like these horses are going to go home and get turned out. But if my sister next week says, I want to take one on a hunter pace, load up, let's go, you know. So
at this level too, you really see you see who has really developed a partnership and a relationship with their horse at this level and who hasn't. So when things start to go south, you see whether the horse is going, okay, I'm going to trust you with this and we're going to get through this together, or they're totally parting ways. So I think you see that at this level really well. It really shines at this level. And then you see it at the very upper levels as well. That's where you see that relationship and that partnership really clearly. And there was a lot of that. Again, there was some of that on both sides here over the weekend. But we got to go.
All right. Promise fulfilled in the eighth race. It's a lock. Going to be about going off
today,
about 2-1.
Keeneland?
Yeah.
Should I bet that?
Do you have your app? There's no speed in the race.
No, Glenn, I don't have a betting app on my phone. No, I would never do that. Who would have a betting app on their phone, Glenn?
I have two on my phone.
My husband's listening. I would never have a betting app on my phone.
Oh, no, she doesn't have that anymore. She got rid of that when Chad said to get rid of that.
Yeah, I did. It's deleted.
It's for fun. It's play money, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Justin.
So I am here with Stephanie from visithorsecountry.com. Visithorsecountry.com is a Lexington-based farm tour company. Is that right?
Yes. We're a membership organization, a not-for-profit. So the farms are our members.
This whole thing really is it's instigated by the farms themselves.
That's why it works so well. It was their idea. They formed it. They keep saying yes to different requests and tour experiences. But yeah, it started with them. They got together and said, there lacks a fan development initiative of any organized type in the industry. They saw this great success of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And
everybody loves that.
Everyone loves that. And it gets people in the door. And of course, bourbon is booming now. So the byproduct of having fans is survival.
Sure. Survival, right? Exactly. If people aren't fans, people aren't going to take an interest.
That's right. And so they started us legally incorporated in 2014. The first tours were in 2015 with Breeders' Cup, and no one could have written a better script than Pharaoh winning the Grand Slam in Lexington and retiring the next day to one of our member locations, Coolmore. And that kicked things off sort of with a little touch of magic. And here we are several years later.
Going like gangbusters. Yeah. So you talk about different experiences. Tell me about the different types of experiences or tours that people can take.
So we have seven categories: stud farm, we have a sport horse farm, nursery farms, two clinics, a feed mill, aftercare. So really anyone can see a peek into the life of a horse.
Who knew? I thought it was just the breeding farms.
It's not. No. It's all these different entities in the industry to really show the full picture. So the idea is if you get a nice cross section of experiences, you can really see what's happening with these horses.
And that's going to really appeal to a lot of different people, because some people are going to be fans of the breeding farm because they want to see American Pharaoh because they watched it on TV. Some people are going to be fans of Old Friends because they love the story of the campaigners who get to retire and sit in a couch for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Even clinics. Now tell me a little bit about that.
So the clinics have been remarkable. We have Haggard and Rudin Riddle. So two of the, you know, preeminent
veterinary clinics in the world.
And of course they're right here in Lexington. But they take guests in. They're very open. You might get to see surgery. You learn about the incredible and intense care that these horses get.
So you kind of get a walkthrough tour of the facility and the services that they provide.
Interesting. And the feed mill is also fascinating.
Whose feed mill is it?
It's Hallway Feeds. They've fed it, any number of champions that you would know. And they're
in a factory. They're still family owned and handshake operated is mm-hmm. what they say, right over here in downtown Lexington. And it's a factory tour floor, and it's fascinating the way that technology has changed the business, the way that science informs the nutrition for these horses at different ages and stages of their life and career. It's a fascinating tour.
Wow.
Yeah. You can see everything.
You can see everything. So you can everything. Get a behind the scenes on how horse feed is made.
That's right.
You can get.
You now, can taste it.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who hasn't,
right?
Right.
Like, I'm right. not going to give it to my That's horse
right.
till I taste it.
That's right.
Now, I see here, you have a t-shirt hanging
yeah.
on the wall.
Yeah.
And I see Facing Tipton, which is one of the sales companies yes. that does thoroughbred as well as other livestock, mm-hmm. equine livestock sales. What do you get to tour there? How's that work?
So they, to date, they've done tours around the timing of their sales. So
that makes sense. That's when there's
the
stuff
tours.
Going on.
That's right. They'll host the tours in like the day before the actual sale. So there are still horses on property. Mm-hmm. They'll walk you through there. You get to maybe talk to a consigner. You talk to the auctioneer, and you get to see different people who work at different levels of the sale. And they
so you understand a little bit on how the whole process works.
That's right. That's right. And also the history. I mean, all of these places.
Yeah, Facing Tipton history. Does have a lot of history. A
lot of history.
Can't yeah. believe that. So you're personal. Now, see, I'm going to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Your personal favorite?
No, there is no favorite.
Ah,
there
see. No
they really are all really great experiences. What I will share from a personal perspective is that it has been really fun to watch the evolution of these members go from, sure, we'll put out a tour on the calendar and maybe people will come, to a private tour, an elevated experience, dinner on the farm. Sure, we'll try that. Why wouldn't we? This is fun. People love to hear the stories.
So you can customize the tours out. Yeah. You have yeah. you and 17 of your best friends yeah. are going to be in Lexington for Land Rover.
That's right.
And you want to do something super special.
Yep.
They can contact you guys right. and go, you know, That's we right. really need to see all of the Kentucky Derby winning horses That's that right. are standing aside.
That's
and
right.
And you can kind of work right. things out for them.
That's right. And, you know, so many of these farms, you know, they do a lot of the owners or the business people mm-hmm. other interests, or there's a lot of history on the farms, or they have other connections mm-hmm. to other industry or art.
Lane's End, we did Lane's a tour of Lane's End a while back.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Oh my gosh, it was fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Fascinating.
Pretty cemetery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fascinating yeah. stuff. So some of the other ones that we see on here, of course, Coolmore, which is where American Pharoah stands.
And Justify.
Two
Triple Crown winners.
Mount Brilliant, which is one of the maybe lesser known commercial farms, but hello, talk about history.
Mm-hmm. Such history. And they do kind of special event one-off things.
Yeah. Three Chimneys. Mm-hmm. Windstar, one of my favorites as far as beautiful is concerned.
Beautiful. You've got farms.
Spy Coast Farm.
Spy Coast.
Premier Sport Horse
Premier
Breeder.
Premier Sport Horse. They have a special October Sunrise Tour coming up, which is going to be really beautiful. And we've got locations doing
Hermitage
tours.
Farm. That's a Hermitage. Driving operation.
And Thoroughbred.
And Thoroughbreds. How yeah. awesome. My husband's a driver. Glenn's
okay,
a driver.
Great.
So he
was yeah.
like, oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
How neat.
They're wonderful.
How neat.
We've
All
got kinds of great we've stuff. Got several locations doing 5, 6, 7 days a week tours now.
Now, how does one tour about? Does one hop into an air-conditioned van?
No, from the comfort of your own car.
Really?
Yeah, so these are individually booked. You control your own itinerary. This guarantees you a tour on the property with mm-hmm. a guide who's ready to receive you. Mm-hmm. So you book your tour at visithorsecountry.com. You get a confirmation email that says, thank you so much for touring with us. Here's your arrival instructions and the picture of the gate where you need to arrive, and then you drive yourself there and there's a tour guide ready to check you in.
Wow, so you just hop in your car and
yeah much like the distilleries. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's really neat.
And now we do have partners with the tour operating companies locally, mm-hmm. a lot of regional, some from out of market too, that we've mm-hmm. developed relationships with, who do packages,
right?
And they will take
you.
If you
all fly to Lexington and you don't want to
right.
rent and four
can,
cars.
Right. And we can help connect you with a tour operator. Or if you've already found one, they will come to us and say, hey, I've got this group, bachelor party. They're going to such and such distillery. We need a stud farm in the afternoon.
So
and we book
is,
them.
This is really a boutique operation
it
in
is.
That you customize it to each sure. individual person or group's
yeah.
needs.
Yeah. We can do that. And then there's the public availability that just
so,
sits out there.
Say I'm the George family, and the George family has come to Lexington, Kentucky, and we're going to be here for 7 days because the eldest female in the female child in the family is going to be competing
yep.
in the Hunters.
Yes.
We want to go for a farm tour and drag everybody along for a half a day.
Yes.
What might a family of four expect to spend on a half a day's worth of touring about?
Yeah, so about $20 a person.
Wow.
$20 to $23 And again, you can get into those elevated experiences or private. Mm-hmm. And then there may be a flat rate for up to 10 people or, mm-hmm. or however the farms have determined it. But yeah, it can be very reasonable. There is a child rate. There's a military discount.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. You know, horses, it's so much more than just about, you know, necessarily the sport. It's a foundational industry of the state. And
yes.
So the state has been doing a heck of a job promoting it, and hopefully we're building fans both of the sport and the state that way.
Where can folks go to find out more about this really cool, customizable touring process?
Great question. So visit horsecountry.com 24/7.
Cool.
We do have a concierge service, so you can call our office, 859-963-1004. And then we're very active on Instagram and Facebook, Kentucky Horse Country.
Join the Facebook page, of course.
Yeah, right. There we go. Follow lots of pretty pictures.
Lots of pretty pictures.
All the time.
Because Kentucky is one giant pretty picture.
It's just one big photo op.
There
That's
we go.
Exactly right.
Well, thanks a whole lot, Stephanie.
I'm so glad to talk to you. Yeah.
This is Kayla Benny, roving reporter for Horses in the Morning. We are live at the Kentucky Horse Park for the Retired Racehorse Project, the Thoroughbred Makeover. I'm here with Jessica Redman, who is actually going to be the recipient of the Ira Shulman Award. And we're going to get to that in a minute, but I'm going to have Jessica introduce herself. Jessica, tell me who you are and what you do. I mean, I know who you are because I ride for you, but let's let the world know.
So we're trying to be serious here and be professional, but I own Benchmark Sport Horses, which is in Camden, Delaware, and we run a resale, basically a resale business where we rehome thoroughbreds off the track. We sell about 130 to 140 thoroughbreds a year coming off the racetrack, and we buy thoroughbreds from all over the country and remake them into show horses.
All right. Now, tell me about the Ira Shulman Award. Like, what does it represent? I knew Ira from when I was in California. He was in Arizona. He basically does the same exact thing you do, but he has recently passed away. But explain it a little bit more for everyone.
So this award is basically recognizing the people that are rehoming large quantities of thoroughbreds coming off the track. So he was really well known for probably rehoming more thoroughbreds than anybody in the history, you know, that we know of. So, you know, last year, Amy Pullis was the winner of this award, and I'm really honored to be the winner of this award this year. I estimate that I've probably sold over 1,000 thoroughbreds so far in about 10 years of making it, you know, sort of a business. So it's an honor.
I can attest that Jessica does a lovely job of picking out thoroughbreds. I know she's mentioned based on breeding, knowing trainers, knowing how the tracks operate and everything like that. But what's your biggest takeaway? Like, what do you look for the most in a horse?
For me, I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for is a horse that really stands out sort of, you know, as a horse that's going to be successful in a second career. I don't necessarily pick horses for a specific discipline. So I'm just looking for a horse that I think will be easy for somebody to, you know, retrain, remarket. You know, it's a type that I'm looking for. I like a horse that just has a nice big sloping shoulder, a nice hip, you know, a neck that really comes up out of the shoulder so that they're uphill. You know, it's really important nowadays with dressage to have a horse that's uphill and a good mover. So I'm just kind of looking for that type of horse. You know, it can be a mare, it can be a gelding. It really doesn't matter to me. It's just, I know it kind of when I see it.
Also, so as one of your riders, hold on, I'm so distracted right now. We are sitting outside the freestyle, and there is a horse that just jumped on a mattress and was being pulled into the arena with a truck. Sorry, this is amazing. This, guys, you need to come watch the makeover. The things that people do with these thoroughbreds is just incredible. I know that Jessica had, the year I competed, which was 2017, she had 10 horses that she had sold that competed in the makeover. My horse was personally ninth place. There were a few other horses that were higher placed in their disciplines. And then last year you had a winner, didn't you?
We had a winner in the show hunter division, and we had a winner in the eventing division, and we also sold the America's Most Wanted Thoroughbred from last year, which was Reloaded. So that was, it was a big year for our program.
Yeah.
I mean, it really stand out. We had some other higher placed horses that did really well. So, you know, the horses from our program have really excelled here at the makeover, and we're always really excited to come in and see them.
And how many horses do you have this year?
We have six this year. We have some doing the field hunters, some in the hunters, and some doing the jumpers and eventing.
So kind of covering all the English bases, basically.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep. So when are you going to get into the Western disciplines?
I did have one in the Western last year. So it's not exactly what draws my eye, but I think we do have a lot of horses that could go Western with no problem. Guess it all depends on who buys them.
Yep. Yep. I will say that you do a very fair job in marketing your horses. You're very honest. Which, you know, as a sale business can sometimes be difficult. But I will say, you know, you have a very good reputation. And I think personally, I think you represent the Ira Shulman Award very well. Having known Ira himself, I would say that you are kind of the East Coast equivalent, in my opinion, you know, and there are other people that, you know, also deserve recognition as well, and I think you were in very good company being nominated, so congratulations.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I think one of the most popular booths of the entire show and the vendor booths has been the MagnaWave booth that's located in the covered arena. I might have visited it once or maybe twice.
Did it have air conditioning? Because
No, it didn't matter because
we can open the doors
so
and get some air blowing through.
Well, we've got Pat Zimmer. You're the owner of the company?
Correct.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. I sat down and talked to one of your assistants yesterday and was just blown away by the technology that is in these systems. And she told me that because I was like, where did this come from? And she said it was NASA.
Well, yes. As far as the United States is concerned, NASA has done a lot, done some studies. They used it when the first astronauts came back from space. And of course, Yuri Gagarin from Russia was the first astronaut in space. He came back and developed what was considered called space sickness. They had atrophy of the muscles, lessened bone density, and caused a lot of problems with his health, and he eventually died. And so Schumann, there's a part of PEMF or magnetic therapy is called the Schumann resonance. And Dr. Schumann, a physicist, developed the theory for how to treat this, what they called space sickness, and it would reverse atrophy, improve muscle, bone density, and so forth, so the astronauts could return and return to health quickly and be in good shape. And that's called the Schumann resonance. So that really propelled PEMF in the United States. In Europe and other countries, it's been a mainline medicine pretty much forever.
Wow.
Nikola Tesla was the one who really developed PEMF type of therapy for use in health and wellness and so on and so forth.
So for those that don't know, what is PEMF?
PEMF is pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, meaning that you create a magnetic field in a pulsing. It starts and it stops. It's not a continual field. The high voltage lines that we experience put off a magnetic field or a signal 24/7, and it's just there. It's absorbed by the bodies, so on and so forth. And so that's what's going on there. With this, it's pulsed. It's nanoseconds in length. So it would take basically, because people ask this question all the time, what about bad electromagnetic fields? it would take 17 hours of exposure with our device to generate 1 second of what you get from your cell phone or from a microwave oven or something like that. So that's where the pulsing comes in.
What is the healing proper? Like, people use this for their horses, and now it's, you know, used on humans. Now you've got chairs down the way
that
you can get pulsed. I put it around my neck yesterday. I feel so much better.
Right.
Why? Well, why does that work?
It's really pretty simple. Basically, what it does is it creates a magnetic field. Now, our devices are high power, meaning that we penetrate the cellular membrane and allow the blood cells to take on more oxygen immediately. If they can better utilize the oxygen that's available to them, then they're healthier. When they're healthy, that oxygenated cell reduces inflammation. If you take away inflammation, you take away pain. And that's the basis of what we do. But if the cells are healthier, then the body's in a better position to heal itself.
It's fascinating technology, Glenn. It's amazing how well it works. And
does it work on brains? Because I could use all the help.
Well, oh my God, certainly. I slept so much better last night.
I can tell you a story about that. Several stories. We've done work with people with strokes. We've done work with concussions. In fact, we have a study going on right now at the University of Colorado for sports-related concussion events and for the healing process of that. Inflammation has been shown to be part of depression, inflammation in the brain, and so forth, that whole kind of thing. My personal story is one that I've been doing this since 2002, but I'm 70 years old. And as we age...
You don't look 70.
Well, thank you. It's because I treat myself all the time. But as we age, you know that all of a sudden you start searching for words. You know, oh, what was that? Or what was his name? Or what was I? You know, that type of thing.
Show every day.
There you go. Yeah. And so what I started doing a few months ago, I started noticing that once in a while I'd be searching for a word. You know, what is this thing? Oh, it's a telephone. Whatever. But so I decided I'm going to start treating my head myself. And I do it regularly. I have noticed that if I treat myself regularly, I search for words less.
Can I just have a pillow that has it in and I can just sleep?
I have that. We have one of those machines.
Glenn, and in fact,
I need a pillow. I can get smarter.
You know, I'm my own best testimonial, but I have one that I place under my pillow and I'm on it for a half hour, 30 minutes or an hour when I go to bed at night and I'm treating my head. Or I've had a prostate issue.
You need to send me one of those.
There you go.
Can you have your credit card number?
Yeah.
Where can people find it? Where can they find it?
We are Magna Wave, Magna, M-A-G-N. In a wave like ocean wave, so it's Magna Wave, P-E-M-F, P as in Paul, E as in Edward, M as in Mark, F as in Frank, MagnaWave, P-E-M-F.com.
And they sell the units, and you can find a practitioner near you. I'm a big believer in it, so thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Well, it's time to wrap. Thanks to everybody for those terrific interviews and for our roving reporters and Kayla
really
and Joy.
Cool to have everybody else do our work.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Do that more often.
I can relax. So we had a lot, probably more than any other competition we've been to of listeners that came up and talked to us. Jennifer was manning the booth yesterday and had people all day coming up to her. And we've had
I had a steady stream at the barn.
Did you?
People would pop by the stall and I'd see somebody standing out there. No.
Oh.
It's a hot mess down at the barn. Okay. Yeah. So
I wasn't allowed down there.
Yeah. It was great. It was so fun to see people. I'm a listener. I'm like, oh my God. Hi. You know, it's so fun to see. And I had the biggest crowd following me around yesterday.
And you guys
had
a lot of listeners from retired racehorse
We had a ton on there. It was just fantastic
to see. Right? We're here.
Yeah.
But Carol is here. She is one of our auditors and one of our listeners and has been with us the whole entire time. And we've had a lot that have been hanging out with us, going to dinner with us and everything. Carol, was this your first makeover?
Yes.
But you have a thoroughbred.
I did. I used to have two.
You used to have two.
My very first horse was a thoroughbred. Would not say it's for a green rider, but it was an interesting experience.
So did you think Jamie was good or she sucked?
Oh, no, she did a great job.
Okay,
I was very impressed with her. I was really impressed on, I thought he did great in dressage. I mean, he had the high head, which is a thoroughbred-y thing, but otherwise, I mean, he did everything you asked him. He wasn't scooting across the ring or anything. I thought
that
was...
He didn't jump out of the
ring. He did great.
That has happened to me before, so...
And the show jumping was awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a lot for him. And then eventing, I was really impressed with, because my thoroughbred would have stopped at a jump and refused all day, never taken it. Groot just went, oh, I'm supposed to jump that? and he trusted you, and then he went.
It's what I talked about earlier, is that trust. You could see that one's had developed a bond.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could see that because I watched a lot of horses. And after you were done, I stayed out there and watched. And there was some horses that were just like, yeah, I'm not too happy about this whole thing. Yep. And then you could see the ones that were like relaxed and trusted what was happening and just went with the flow.
Carol, were you like Jennifer? You had to stop walking around the barns because you wanted to take 25 of them home?
Oh, yeah. I keep looking, I keep looking at all those pictures that pop up.
Yeah.
And there's this really...
The jumbotron.
Really, there's this really nice one called something Ben that's really cute. And then the 18-hand one looked really cute too, and I'm like, yeah.
And Lost My Way, that was on rotation, right? But don't forget him.
Exactly.
His name's Baby Groot.
He is so cute. He looks so cute.
And he's now for sale for $40,000. His price just went up.
I might take $1,800.
He was so relaxed though yesterday, all day. I was
such a fantastic brain.
He was very, very relaxed. So that was really good.
All right. So sometimes at the end of the show, we ask what we remember. Yeah, what we learned. When we remember it, we ask what we learned. So let's start with Carol. What'd you learn?
Oh, it was really interesting this morning watching the masterclass. I really liked what Elisa did.
Yeah.
That horse was over the top. It was just too much for him. He hadn't raced and didn't have a lot of experience. And she recognized that. And instead of trying to just jump on him and do what a lot of people do, she backed off. When she put the saddle on and he bucked, she said, okay, I'm going to get rid of that, and then she could get on in bareback and ride around. And I was really impressed with that.
Oh,
that
cool.
She
that's Elisa
did,
Wallace. You're talking
about. Elisa, yeah. That she did that. She backed off and didn't do that. The other guy I was really, the jockey I was with, impressed with. It took a lot of time, but when he was first riding that horse around, he had a wild eye. And by the end, he had a really calm. He had a nice calm eye.
What was his name? Oh, was riding.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
She said John Nunn.
Yeah.
It's not John Nunn that was riding.
You sure?
Yeah. No.
Cut that part out because it wasn't him. It did look like him, but it was the guy that had the freestyle yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so cut. He's a jockey.
All right, let's cut that.
But he had a very calm, quiet eye when he was done. So he had really worked well with that horse.
So you enjoyed the master class and the educational portion. I really like that. I'm glad they have that, and where competitors can come see it this year. Joy, what did you learn?
I learned a lot this week, but I think more importantly, I reinforced for me was less is more with young horses, with green horses. To the best horses I saw that went out in all the disciplines were the horses who weren't being overly coddled, overly corrected. There was less interference from the rider, and just let the horses explore and take things in. It was just great to see, and to see these horses who had these racehorse careers, only 10 months, some less than that, to get acclimated to even a new discipline and then come to this, which is a whole nother deal, and be able to perform and look like they're just regular green horses who didn't have a past. And I just think it's amazing to see that riders are allowing their horses to just do their thing, trusting the horse wants to be there. Yeah, that was probably the most amazing moment for me.
You, Glenn, what'd you learn?
I learned that when I challenge my co-host to do something, Leslie comes to mind, Jamie comes to mind, you guys do step up and you can do it. I just have to push you outside your comfort zone a little bit. And you were definitely outside your comfort zone with the freestyle.
Yeah, Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, that was awesome.
So that's what I learned. I learned you guys can do it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I learned I'm challenging your ass to go climb Mount Everest. I guess what I learned is so much you can take in from an event like this, and to see the connection that people have with their horses was really cool. What I learned, let's see, what did I learn? I learned that the Rolex Arena is very frightening, and I learned that Baby Groot can go through water and over ditches. When I can imagine something and work hard enough for it, I can accomplish it, which I didn't know I was going to be able to do before. But in that freestyle, every element that I wanted in it, I had all those contingency plans I was telling Lindsay. I had all these plans of what happens, how I can scale it back, what I can do. And I came up with this whole routine, didn't tell a soul about it, and came up with this whole idea and made it all work. And I have my horse to thank for that. And I have all the people that helped me out in the arena during it. And I learned I'm never listening to you again. Suck it, Glenn. There you go. Spay, neuter, gal at the senior show. Suck it, Glenn. That's my new tagline.
I have one more question for you. How much of the pressure knowing that there's thousands of people rooting for you yet would forgive you? Okay. Did that add to it? Were you also doing it for yourself and for them?
There was a monumental aspect of trying to make sure I made everybody proud. I didn't want to disappoint. And I know you thought, well, if it all goes south, just make it funny. I didn't want to make it funny. I worked hard at it. I wanted it to work. And definitely, I feel like I was saying to Kyle.
But it didn't go south. See, that was the thing.
I really wanted to make everybody proud, mm-hmm. and to do right by my horse and to ride the horse that I had and to hopefully achieve some of the things that I had in mind when I came into this whole freestyle, and it all worked. And
well,
really
and there's
pleased.
Somebody else too we have to mention that you made proud.
Oh boy, who?
That's more important than all of us right now. And that's Monty Roberts.
Oh, he's so awesome. I hope I did. That was mm-hmm. a massive when I was trying not to disappoint.
He sent you a freaking message from the Queen's property in England.
I know, I hadn't had a chance to listen yet.
Yeah, it was really, that was awesome. And Debbie sending me all the presents and our other.
You have a big fan group.
It was fun. I'm glad I didn't let anybody down, and I appreciate it.
I think you can use the That Girl music once.
Are you going to give her a saddle pad yet? Did she earn it yet?
I guess. Well, she can wear it in public now.
I don't want your crappy saddle pad. I have a Thoroughbred makeover saddle pad that I got for coming, so I need that. I want to thank, I keep saying the whole weekend, especially to Larissa, who has put up with me all weekend, drove here with me, and then
she
went
slept
home with me.
You.
And then I didn't know anybody was coming, so I ended up having this Airbnb, and I rented out the rooms. Well, I rented all the rooms, and I have somebody coming, so we shared a queen-size bed. So she's been amazing, and I want to thank
you always
her.
Say it's way too much Jamie on the show. Well, she had way much too much.
Oh, yeah, and she's got 12 more hours of me coming. So, yeah, so I just want to thank everybody, and again, I've said it the whole entire weekend. If I haven't said it in the last 5 minutes, I'm glad you're all here.
Congratulations to everybody competing at the Retired Racehorse Project Thoroughbred Makeover.